doing and discovering the great outdoors on Main Street in Hurleyville near the rail trail. Morgan-outdoors.com.
Think you have asbestos in your house? Our expert shares why you don't have to rush to panic most of the time.
Let sleeping dogs lie is a pretty good rule of thumb. But once you start to disturb things like asbestos or lead, it becomes airborne and now it's causing trouble.
Plus, 1 year after Hurricane Helene touched down in North Carolina, This Old House revisits the year of rebuilding. That's this week on This Old House Radio Hour.
Sunday morning at 7 on Radio Catskill.
Hi, I'm Laura Flanders, reminding you to join me and my friends for Laura Flanders and Friends on Radio Catskill Monday evenings at 7, followed by Sabrina Artel's Trailer Talk. And then, starting October 6th, we welcome the Janice Adams Show to its new night at 8, followed by La Voz en Breve with Mariel Fiore. Four powerhouse shows back-to-back, local voices bringing world-class conversations about what's really happening in our lives. Monday evenings on Radio Catskill.
Hi, I'm Brett Barry, host of Cats Cast, the Catskills podcast, with some exciting news. We're bringing our award-winning series to Radio Catskill. Join us every Saturday at 11 as we explore the stories, people, and ideas shaping our region, culture, history, sustainability, literature, the arts, and more. That's Cats Cast with me, Brett Barry, Saturdays at 11, beginning October 4th on Radio Catskill.
It's 10:30 on Radio Catskill. This is Greg. My friends are always up for a conversation about the things we should be talking about together, to cut through the noise, to get to the truth, to inspire and make our little world a bigger place. Today, we're traveling all the way from Narrowsburg, New York, to the Hudson Valley to talk about following your passion and the lessons we can learn from nature. Get ready to meet Megan Offner. It's time for Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Triggs. Who's he gonna talk to now? What's he gonna talk about? Where we gonna go? Travels with Triggs.
Our guest today is Megan Offner, an entrepreneur with a passion for nature and what it can teach us. Megan is the owner and co-founder of New York Heartwoods, a Hudson Valley-based circular woods product consultancy that works at the intersection of forest conservation and wood product fabrication. Leveraging her 25-year-plus years of experience in design-build industries, she helps architects, designers, artists, and landowners transform fallen and removed trees into high-value furniture, building materials, and other creative products. Please welcome Megan to Travels with Triggs. Good morning, Megan.
Good morning, Greg.
What inspired you to take on this wonderful work?
Inspiration came from really, I grew up in Montana around a lot of clear-cut forests, and I realized, you know, from a very young age that the traditional practices of forestry were incredibly extractive. And in that 25 years that I've been doing design build work, I really wanted to figure out a way to work with wood that where I understood the supply chain that I was working with and that could potentially be regenerative to the forest that I was, you know, living in and around. I started New York Heartwoods, from that place after studying permaculture and sustainable building and design, silviculture, and I just really fell in love with this model of the Menominee Native Americans, where they harvest one tree per acre per year on average to improve the health of their forest. They prioritize the removal of dying and diseased trees. The wood that they do cull, you know, it's that philosophy of taking what you use and using what you take. And the forester that I learned that from, he had a hardwood flooring company. And it was the first time that I witnessed that you could work co-creatively with the natural world. The wood that he processed was, you know, used for his flooring. The scraps went to a couple that made things that they sold on Etsy, and everything else ended up in a wood stove. So there was literally no waste. And I realized that that was possible. And at the time, I was still living in Brooklyn, so I you know, it was this aha moment of like, I'm going to do this somehow, and had no idea how that would manifest. But 2 weeks later, I was introduced to a sawyer who had a portable band mill that he wasn't using. I got to know he and his wife. They were close to retiring and entrusted me to set up a business on their land using their mill. And when I moved up to start milling full time, like you mentioned, that coincided with the weekend of Hurricane Irene. So the model for the business quickly became, you know, how do we get these hundreds or thousands of fallen trees into people's homes? How do we rebuild with that material? How do we keep them out of landfills and chippers and, you know, create a solution with that material versus a problem? Because a lot of the landfills at that point were at capacity. Warwick, New York, where I was living, the mayor was really, it was a quagmire, you know, trying to figure out what to do with all this wood. And so it's created this commitment to designing and building resilient systems in the places that we live to respond to these extreme weather events that are only happening more and more regularly, and to just create solutions for people who are losing their trees to other forest pathogens. It sort of takes the sting out of losing a, you know, a favorite tree if you can make something with it and have it live on in a different way.
How did you start to tackle figuring out the shape and form of what this was going to be?
Well, it happened pretty gradually. I mean, or organically, I should say. You know, originally I was just milling and selling lumber and slabs. Pretty soon after we started the company, we being my mentor at the time and his brother and my partner at the time who did the back office work for me, we were just reaching out to the community and to local tree services and really trying to get as much material to the mill and processing it. And then people started asking for furniture to be made with that wood. So I slowly built out a wood shop, found talented furniture makers to partner with who really appreciated the sourcing of the material and the business model. And then that's just grown. Well, you know, we stopped milling in 2016 because the furniture took off and it was just hard to do everything in-house. So now I work with a network of over 70 mills, kilns, fabricators, loggers, everyone involved in that supply chain. And I create these custom scenarios, essentially, catered to each client, depending on this, their location, the scale of the project, their budget, the products that they want made. So I work on, you know, projects with a single beloved tree that maybe somebody's kids played in. Or, you know, I'm also partnering with a forester who's managing 1,000 acres in Columbia County for carbon sequestration. And the trees that are going to be culled from that will be transformed into building materials for some new construction. And I've just found over time that, you know, as this has scaled, architects are more connected with the removal of the trees on these larger projects and need building materials. So I actually gave up furniture fabrication at the end of last year and still partner with my collaborator, but I'm more agnostic because the locations where I'm working and the scale that I'm working at, a lot of the projects are more interested in building materials. So I have a flooring and cladding fabricator that I'm collaborating with, you know, other artisans that do various kinds of fabrication, like mill workers. So really, I can make, you know, have pretty much anything made from site trees in a circular way, which is really exciting.
And what aspect of the work you're currently doing is the most rewarding to you? Because you have such a holistic point of view. What's the most exciting aspect of it for you?
I really just love bringing people into the process. Like, there's so many products that are at our fingertips. And I think we've become so disconnected to where the things that are in our lives, like where they come from. And when I get to work with a client who has a relationship with the trees that end up in their homes, like that process is so fulfilling. And it's because you're actually, you know, like you're creating an experience, you're creating all of these memories. And then, you know, the table or bed or floor is just a cherry on top of that. And I find it's just really meaningful. You know, there's this, I think, heartbreak that happens when we lose, you know, a favorite tree, or as a homeowner, if the land that we fell in love with for a new, you know, something that we're going to build on, when that land is cleared, you know, there's this understandable sense of devastation, you know, like seeing that loss of life. And so if you can sort of reincarnate those trees, at least into things that, you know, one can continue to appreciate, I think that creativity heals some of that heartbreak.
Wow, how rewarding. We're going to be talking more about that process in just a couple of minutes, so stay tuned to Travels with Trees.
This Week in This American Life. Okay, so you're on a subway car, and onto the car comes a guy wearing no pants. A couple stops later, somebody else gets on, also no pants. This keeps happening every few stops until the train has many, many people on it, with no pants. Then somebody comes barreling through the car, selling pants. Mind games, This Week.
Tonight at 6 on Radio Catskill.
Next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour, writer and podcaster Ezra Klein.
Politics is about power. And I think people have missed this. Politics is not about self-expression. Politics is about building coalitions capable of winning power and making the decisions you need to do that.
That's Ezra Klein, next time on the New Yorker Radio Hour. Listen Sunday at 6 for the New Yorker Radio Hour on Radio Catskill.
And we're back with Travels with Triggs. Today we are talking to Megan Offner, who is the owner and co-founder of New York Heartwoods, a Hudson Valley-based circular woods product consultancy that leaves nothing behind, uses all parts of the trees with which they work. And Megan, people who are not architects, people who are not designers, people who aren't building a new home, how can they bring some of these practices into their everyday life?
One of the benefits to living in your area or mine, it's a pretty easy find on the internet to connect with a local sawyer. Facebook Marketplace, looking for people who are selling wood is a way to connect with a sawyer near you. Thinking about in advance what you want made with that wood. So how I work with my clients, I generally have a conversation about design needs, and I look at the trees and, you know, really thinking through what you want to use a fallen tree for. And being clear, you know, about those dimensions before even the log is cut to length. Like, we've had to make a 10-foot table out of a 7-foot log. So, you know, it just, design becomes more complicated. So if you take the time to really think of, like, how you might best put that tree to use and then work backwards from there, so that the logs are cut to length, the wood is milled to the thicknesses that you know that you'll be able to work with. Milling that wood about a half an inch over the size, like if you wanted a 2-inch thick tabletop, milling that wood at 2.5 inches thick, because once you flatten it, you know, you're going to be using some of that material. So oversizing everything is really important. What else?
Even if it's not wood, anything that you bring into your home or anything that you extract to try to maximize its uses. As you say, sawdust can be used in composting. Scraps can be used for heating. That type of philosophy, right?
Yeah. I mean, if we understand that we are nature, in nature, there's no waste. So there's always an opportunity to, especially when working with wood, to find a use for it. Like, we reached out to horse farmers and pit firing ceramicists that can use our sawdust. Our wood scraps often go to a local bread maker who has a wood-fired oven. You know, it's also a way to engage with your community.
Well, and speaking of communities, we've been talking about what you can do in the Hudson Valley or Sullivan County, but you've also done this on an urban scale in places such as Brooklyn, right?
Right. We just finished a project in July in Park Slope, and that tree had been planted 110 years ago or so on the original homeowner's wedding anniversary. And then, you know, fast forward to present day, the current owner was having their 10-year anniversary while the tree in their backyard stopped leafing out, and they decided that they needed to have it removed. So as a gift to his wife, He had us come down and process that tree. So that will be their future tables.
That's wonderful. And what a thoughtful way to honor that which has to be removed. It's just incredible to me. I was watching a video online about beavers being introduced to an environment. And again, that concept of beavers don't necessarily see themselves as the center of the universe, but how their work brings life in so many different forms. Within a month, there were ducks, there were fish, all because the dammed water created an environment that allowed things to grow rather than stagnate.
Mm-hmm.
So with your relationship with trees, I know they are especially precious to you. What are some of the things that you've learned from them?
So I've come to learn that trees are incredibly generous. I had COVID in 2020 when it was very terrifying and very severe. And it was a trade-off between sleeping and breathing. It was a full-time job just to focus on my breath. And after 2 weeks of insomnia, a friend of mine in the city had texted that she just wished that she could hug someone or at least a tree. And I was like, well, I can at least go hug this 300-year-old oak tree that's out in my yard. And I did. And that night I slept for the first time in, you know, since I had gotten sick. And I've talked to pregnant women who have like leaned on oak trees, and it was the only thing that kept them from feeling morning sickness. You know, there's, you know, forest bathing. There's, you know, a lot of scientific proof now, like the benefits that we get from being outside in forests and with trees. And, you know, I think that generosity inspires my work. Growing up in the woods, I've always loved trees, but someone posed the question of like, have you thought about that, the fact that trees love you? And given that way of reframing, that way of thinking that trees love me, you know, that generosity that you want to return, it's just, it's so easy. It's not just this savior complex, you know.
When you say reframing thinking, mm-hmm. I think that that is such an important concept. How would you advise someone, or what inspiration would you provide someone who is trying to reframe their thinking?
So remembering that we are nature, I think, is key to that. You know, most indigenous languages didn't even have a word for nature because humans were not separate. And when we're part of a larger ecosystem and we remove ourselves from the center, you know, of our thinking, that reciprocity is so available to us. I think that that sensing into how much we're cared for by the forest, the land around us, you know, it becomes more palpable.
I think that's a beautiful thought. And in day-to-day practice, you know, on a corporate level, sometimes when we talk about sustainability or we talk about green initiatives, it feels as though it is marketing more than sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
It feels as though corporations are saying one thing and doing another.
Mm-hmm.
So within everything we've been talking about today, expanding past wood, what is a good first step for someone who really wants to embrace these ideas? Some small adjustment in day-to-day life that can plant a seed.
Spend more time outside. I think we become so technologically oriented that we forget to just be outside, be quiet, and observe. The more time that I've spent in nature, the more it informs my thinking and my choices. You know, when I lived in Brooklyn, I wouldn't have dreamed of the life that I have now. And I think it's just really paying attention to the world around us, paying attention to the, like, how it's changing over the seasons, you know, just slowing down. I mean, I think that there's a lot of really sexy technological advances happening. For example, in the building world, like cross-laminated timbers and mass timber is all the rage. It's a way of building and storing carbon with wood. And it's a great technology. And I think that we're missing the fact that we just need simple, connective systems that allow us to create small businesses, that allow us to connect with the materials around us, that allow us to be creative with the people that we know and the wood trees that we have. I mean, it could be as simple as even just like learning how to whittle a spoon and getting connected to, you know, a fallen tree branch. I think that there's a lot of ways of just getting creative with the natural world that also connects us to living a sustainable life.
On behalf of all of us in Sullivan County, which of course has been known for lumber industry for years and years, thank you for sharing your insights and your experience with us. One last question, because this is such a beautiful time of year here in Sullivan County. As someone who has this relationship with wood and with trees and sustainability, how do you feel during color change?
Oh, I love it. But I love all the seasons. I don't know how people can live in a place that doesn't have seasons. You know, growing up in Montana, there was very little change throughout them. And when I first moved to New York, I always look forward to fall. I think it's my favorite time of year because of the dynamism that we get to experience. It's like the last dance before the end of the party, you know.
What great advice. Go outside, enjoy the color change, enjoy the season, be in the moment, and be more like a tree. Thanks for joining us, Megan.
Thank you, Craig. It was great to be here with you.
Thank you for tuning in to Travels with Triggs.
Travels with Triggs. Who's he gonna talk to now? What's he gonna talk about? Where we gonna go? Travels with Triggs.
SUNY Sullivan is now offering the SUNY Impact Foundation's New York State Charitable Tax Credit Program, which makes a powerful difference for students while providing tax benefits to donors. Individuals can make a charitable gift of $10,000 to $100,000 to the SUNY Impact Foundation, designate the funds to benefit SUNY Sullivan, and receive up to an 85% New York State tax credit. More information at sunysullivan.edu. Paid for by SUNY Sullivan.
Hey, it's Francis Lam, host of The Splendid Table. This week, Evie McGee Colbert comes by to talk about the family food she and her husband, Stephen Colbert, cook. And we get into the stories of food on tour with indie musicians. Celebrities, they're just like us. It's coming up on The Splendid Table.
The Splendid Table, Sunday morning at 11 on Radio Catskill.
Time on the Wagaloda Monkeys with me, Graham Rice, here on Radio Catskill. I bring you the first of two choices of songs about the moon, starting with songs about different kinds of moon, blue moons and more. Join me, please, on Sunday afternoon at 3.
WJFF Jeffersonville, streaming online at WJFFradio.org. This is Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.